He is Lord. Your vote don't really change that. He is Lord. And here is the end result. There is coming a time, according to the Bible, that every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord unto the glory of God the Father. Now I need to add a PS to that. For some, it will be too late. He said every knee. But for those who are unsaved, it would be an exercise in futility. If you don't bow your knee on this earth, you're wasting your time to do it on the other earth. Amen? They that gladly received him. We coach people. Jesus wants to save you. Open your heart up. The reality of the gospel is a sinner should be on their face before God pleading for God to accept them. They shouldn't be pleading for me to accept God, accept Jesus. My plea should be, oh God, help me, have mercy upon me, receive me into your kingdom. Am I right? It's the greatest privilege you will ever have on this planet Earth is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's none other name given among men whereby one can be saved but by the name Jesus. He came to save his people from their sin. I appreciate you being in church on this day, this first day of the year. Some have had a turbulent 2016. Maybe a lot of things perhaps didn't go your way. And it's left you shattered and full of confusion maybe. But we turn the page and we lock it and we say, forgetting those things that are behind, we press. 2017 is going to have a different context to it, a different motivation to it. Now, for the next little while, I want to be preaching on the anointed, not the anointing, but the anointed. And I will choose my scripture from the book of 1 and 2 Kings. And my first passage will be in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. They've got it on the screen, but it always helps for you to have it in your Bibles. This story, this context, is about the prophet of God called Elijah. Amen? So many things that we can learn from this text. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. He sent his messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Elkan, whether I shall recover of this disease. God orchestrates things. Do you understand? This is going to be revealed. Nobody sent a word to Elijah and said, now the king is... Nobody tried to connive up and say, cut him off at the pass. But God knows who is going here and who is going there. Can I get a witness out there? But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, God has given instructions to Elijah. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt tell him, this is what you're to tell the king, thou shalt not come down from thy bed, that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And Elijah departed. Don't it take fortitude to be that blunt? Oh, and when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, There came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sinnest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. Listen to this next two verses now. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man, girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. Listen, the revelation came to the king. It is Elijah the Tishbite. Do you get that? He carried a persona. He carried features about him that made him distinguishable. I don't want to be beating a dead horse, but I'm telling you, believers, Pentecostal believers, are under a mandate from God to carry an identification about us. We're not frequenting the pool halls. We're not going to the dance joints. We're not cutting ripples around here and there. We are satisfied by abstaining. We're content by rejecting. We don't have a dual perplexity and complex. We are satisfied with our identification. Take note of them that they've been with God. Here's the people that are miserable. Here's the people that are unsettled. Those that are trying to please God and please the world. Honey, you got to get down off that ladder. When you're doing that, you're neither pleasing the world or God. Did you get this text that I read? What manner of man? I want to know the distinguishing marks about this. Well, he's a hairy man. And he's got a leather girdle around him. His identification. Amen? Oh, let's go to the left in your Bible. Am I talking to anybody? And we're going to read from 1 Kings chapter number, let me find my reference here. Are y'all going to help me out? Chapter 17 of 1 Kings, and let's read verse number 1, 2, and 3. Elijah the Tishbite. See, I gave you 2 Kings because that's a brief summary of who he is and what he's like. Now let's go back to the left in our scripture and find out how this all came about. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, he's talking to a king. He's not talking to the janitor. He's talking to a king. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He didn't say according to the word of God. Get it in your mind. He is speaking the oracles of God. When a pastor or an anointed teacher or a spiritual leader stands up and gives admonitions, they're not given of their mind. They're given the oracles of God. You could truthfully say, the Lord said. You understand it's not the man 6 feet tall, whatever. He's speaking the oracles of God. Speaking the wisdom of God. Amen. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, now he's given this message to Ahab, and now he gets a word from God. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself. That's a clue. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Oh, glory. And it shall be, well, let's go to chapter 18, verse number 1 and 2. Came to pass, he's by this brook. He's drinking the water that God has provided. Came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go show thyself. You got to hide yourself before you can show yourself. We got so many people in the church world that have never hid themselves. They've never secluded themselves. They've never isolated themselves. They come out to shoot running. And the problem is they're like one of the runners in the Old Testament. They don't have anything to say. They don't have any news to give. They don't have any revelation. It's by seclusion, isolation. Paul said immediately, I went into Arabia, stayed 3 years. Do you remember? Oh, hallelujah. And Elijah, show thyself unto Ahab. This is God speaking to Elijah. And I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria. All right. Chapter 18, I just read that. Let's let that be the conclusion of our text. Did you understand what I'm trying to read? The anointed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would help me to be a blessing and an inspiration to the audience this morning, to the congregation. Let Jesus be glorified, and we'll give you the praise and the honor. We feel a trembling in our soul. We feel, oh God, that the Holy Ghost is just moving through this auditorium, seeking out those who are in need, those who are in desperation. And we pray that those needs will be supplied and met before this service is over. And we'll thank you for it in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. We read the heroes of the Bible, the great giants of the Bible, and we just ooh and ah. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have the characteristics of some of these great men? Wouldn't it be nice to have the insight of prophecy that Daniel had? We just say, whoa. Wouldn't it be nice to have the strength that Samson had in his day? On and on it goes. You read these men and you think, that's unique. I mean, but we don't read behind the line. Jeremiah was a great prophet, none greater than Jeremiah. But he had a wheelbarrow full of trouble. Are y'all with me? God said to him, while you were yet in your mother's womb, I called you. Oh, if the Lord called me, he's such a gracious God, and he's flamboyant. If he called me, I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to be the leader of the pack. But he said to Jeremiah, you're going to root up. You're going to destroy. You're going to tear down. You're going to be opposed. You're going to be prosecuted and persecuted. You're going to be despised. They're going to look at you and see you come, and they say, oh, here comes that crazy man of God. Now, we want to enjoy the glamour of the anointed, but we don't want to delve into the cost of the anointed. Hello? Let me tell you something. Let me say it to you blunt. I don't care who you are. You get saved, the anointing is not just going to naturally come to you. It's not, because when you get saved, if you have the call of God on your life to be an anointed servant, and I do believe every one of us have that to a degree. When you've got the call of God upon you, and particularly you come out of the pack, when you decide that you're not marching to their drumbeat, you're not going to wallow around in the same slime pits that they do, you sever relation, you say, I don't hate you, bud, but I can't run with you no more. Maybe you don't even say, I can't. Maybe you say, I will not run with you anymore. Because you're running a diashakorunde. You're running a different race than I'm running. You're running for a corruptible crown. I'm running for an incorruptible crown. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. So we think about the glamour. Oh, there's Jeremiah. Whoa, whoa, think about him. He's great. Wait a minute. Do I want to be like, there's a dungeon waiting for him. They're going to put him in a slimy dungeon that he's going to be sinking. It's going to be full of listen to the glamour of Jeremiah. He can go stand on the steps of the temple and say, if you don't straighten up, you're going to end up like the house at Shiloh. They knew what he meant. They understood that. But then what his preaching cost him was the dungeon. He's whipped. And one of the servants said, I can't stand to see the man of God. So they get him out of the dungeon. Some of the conspirators get him out of the dungeon. We read about these great men of God. And we think, oh, it just comes natural. It does not come natural. The call may be there, but it's up to you to fulfill that call. Hello? You can choose to reject it. You can choose to say thanks, but no thanks. I'd rather have life easy. Hello, church. I mean, we read about Ezekiel. What a great man of God, prophecy. He just prophesies about the restoration. We think, oh, if I could just walk with. But Ezekiel was told by God, your wife is going to die before dark, and don't you shed a tear. Whoa. I'm not so sure I want all this anointing. I'm not so sure I want all the goosebumps. I'd rather just kind of go with the flow. I'd rather take a low-key, low profile. That's the problem with the church now. We've decided to take a low profile, and the world takes a high profile, and we're left swallowing the dirt of the world. It's time for us to say, no more. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. See, we want all these things, and you look at Stephen, he's the first martyr. Amen. He wasn't killed because of political reasons. He was killed because in that seventh chapter of Acts, he unwound the story of the history of the Jews. And the word of God says they were so furious with him, they fell on him and bit him, chewed on him, gnawed on him, like dogs would gnaw on a carcass. And he looked up to heaven. Do you want to be like Stephen? He looked up to heaven and said, Father, forgive them. Lay not this sin to their charge. They don't know what they're doing. And he fell asleep. Do you understand the Bible did not say he died? Do you get that in your mind? There's no reference in the New Testament from the book of Acts on of anybody dying. Believers. They fell asleep. Oh, my God. Does anybody know what? And then Jesus, suppose you could go down the street and see a blind man there and they bring him to you and you, what's your problem, Bartimaeus? I want to get my sight. You're healed. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, you go spend 40 days in the wilderness and meet the devil, and you don't have a choir to back you up, and you don't have a pastor or elders to back you. You're by yourself, and the wild beast of the wilderness is gnawing at you. And the devil is in the wilderness. And all you have is the ammunition of the Old Testament. But you come out 40 days later and the devil is defeated and you're victorious and you walk in the synagogue, get the scroll and say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. Close the book up and say, this day this is fulfilled in your presence. Oh, you want to be like Jesus? Well, suppose you're in the garden praying and they come with a team of soldiers. Legitimate soldiers, they're doing an illegitimate thing, but they come and they say to Judas, which one is he? Judas say, he's the one I kiss. And they go and Judas kisses him, and the soldiers come and manhandle him, take him out, and when the night is over, Friday morning comes, they take him out and kill him. You want to be able to say to the sick, rise and take up your bed, go in the wilderness for 40 days. If you want to be able to say, thy sins be forgiven, go walk with God. We enjoy hearing about the Wiggleworths. We enjoy hearing about the people of the yesteryear. Oh, how it blessed. But we don't need to just hear about it. We need to put on the same garment there. Am I talking to you? Paul. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to be like Paul? I just would love to be like Paul. Would you? There's a whole chapter given up to what? Three times I've been beaten with stripes, and I've been in the deep three times, and I've been in hungers often and fastings often, and I've been in peril among false brethren, in every way then. But all of these things, none of these things move me. And our pastor hears the whining of the oh, y'all don't. We hear the ridiculous whining of whiners. There's none of them here, thank God. The ridiculous whining of whiners. I didn't get a chance. What? Yeah. Suppose you had to suffer shipwreck. I tell you what, if Jesus tarries, we're going to have to be suffering something. Do you believe that? If Jesus tarries, we're going to have to be enduring some things. Because he said, he that endures. Honey, this is not a ride in the park. Now, if you just want to get saved and get to heaven, I'm not going to debate that. Here's what I will tell you. There were 10 virgins in Matthew 25, and five of them were ready, and five of them were not ready. And the five that were ready went out. And the five that were not ready did not go out. They were not, didn't say they were promiscuous, didn't say they were vulgar, didn't say they were liars, didn't say they were cheating. They just were not ready. That's all. That's the only indictment. They could have been ready. They should have been ready. It was their prerogative to be ready, but they were not ready. And they were at a wedding festival. So they knew what was expected. And some of you sitting on these pews this morning, you know the Lord's coming soon. And you're not ready. You know you're not ready. You skirted around and played around and just kind of tiptoed through the tulips, put the tips of your toes in the pond. You're not ready. Oh, I felt that kick. We've deceived ourselves into thinking, well, any kind of lifestyle will be acceptable, any kind of conduct will be acceptable. Let me tell you something, you are deceived. It's going to take heart, mind, soul, and body. I'm a triune person. I'm a spirit that lives in a, that has a soul that lives in a body. My spirit longs for God, cries for God, reaches for God. My flesh denies God, resents God, rejects God, and my soul is the referee, the umpire. Are you going to follow your spirit or are you going to follow your flesh? My God in heaven, if I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to have to follow my spirit. To be led of the spirit is to be the sons of God. To deny the flesh. Let him take up his cross. Deny the world, deny the flesh. Take it. Am I talking to anybody? If you'd rather for me not to come back tonight, I can just sit back in the bedroom and pray and everything and say, y'all do what you want to do. But I'm unloading. Oh, we want to be like these great men of God, but that we want to be in theory. Oh, that's the Alley Good Church of God. Woo, wee, 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 wee. So what? If we're not pleasing God, I got 5 pages, and I've got a half a page done. We have heart flutters thinking of the anointing and the spotlight that goes with it. It's exciting, you know, seeing people fall out on the floor and get up and fall out the next night and get up and fall out the next night. And you say, now, they're going to change this time. And they fall out the next night, and they fall out the next night, and the revival's over, and the falling out is over, and they're right back, y'all. Falling on the floor will not change you. Decisions is what changes you. Make your mind up that in 2017, you're not going to be what you were in 2016. Make your mind up that you crossed the line. Close the door behind you. Shut it out. You're going to serve God. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. It's time to quit playing church. Jesus is coming. I know that salvation is free. It's a gift of God. But service in the kingdom of God is a costly thing. It's a sacrificial thing. Jesus is in the house of Simon, and they're just conversing. And through the front door comes this lady with a bottle of ointment, perfume, expensive, equivalent to a year's wages of today's society, according to scholars. She don't say, how are you doing? She don't say all this stuff. She walks straight to Jesus. She breaks the seal on the bottle. It's over. Once you broke the seal, there's no putting it back. It's use it or lose it. Pouring it out. And the man grumbled. If this was really a prophet, yeah. Jesus said, well, Simon, let me interrogate you. I come in your house and you didn't wash my feet. I come in your house and you didn't kiss me. I come in your house and all you want to do is examine me and scrutinize me, and You want to find fault with me, and you don't like what this woman's done. She has anointed me for my burial. Just think, when they go in that garden to get him, I know Judas kissed him, but there was something else that betrayed. There was something else that there was something else more powerful than Judas's kiss, and that was the odor of the anointing. They smelled the perfume. Whoever you smell the perfume on, that's got the anointing of God. They walk, and he ain't got it. He ain't got it. Oh, I'm getting closer to it. I'm getting closer. That's the man right there that's got the anointing. Help me out, Jesus. From biblical examples that when God chooses someone to anoint, special with a special anointing, immediately opposition will come that will challenge that anointing. I mean, it will rise up. It may be in your own home, may be in your neighbor, may be in your church. But when God sovereignly reaches down into a group of people and say, John Doe, I need you for, God don't anoint me to run the aisle. I'm not against running. Don't get all cross-eyed at me. God don't anoint me to jump up and down and speak in tongues. That's all part of the Holy Ghost, all that. But God anoints me to serve him, to be a witness. Hallelujah to God. Am I talking to you? So when I receive that anointing, accept that anointing, and say I want to be an anointed one, the devil says, I will make sure that that don't happen. I'll put you in the hospital. I'll put your family in disarray. Am I talking to anybody?